Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How the men of God doing this evening? Praise God. Yeah, how many of you guys know that it's good to be at church on a Monday night? Amen. You know, I feel a special anointing here. I mean, church on Sunday is great and all, but there's nothing like working a hard day, your feet hurt, you're tired, and then meeting with the warriors of God, the soldiers for worship and for the word. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, if you have your Bibles, if you will turn with me to the book of Numbers, chapter 13. Amen. I'm going to start reading at verse 27. Amen. The word of the Lord reads, "This was their report to Moses. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit it produces. But the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there. The descendants of Anak, the Amalekites, live in the Negev, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Canaanites. Amorites live in the hill country. The Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and along the Jordan Valley." Amen. This is the verse I'm really trying to key on. Verse 30. "But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. 'Let's go at once to take the land,' he said. 'We can certainly conquer it.'" Father God, Lord, thank you for your word, Heavenly Father, Lord. Thank you for all that it teaches us, my God. Thank you for speaking to us through your word, Lord. I just pray that you would anoint me, my God, and that God, that you would speak through me this evening. In the name of your son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. So why don't we take action? Why don't we take action? I think sometimes we don't take action because we're afraid. So we see here that most of the spies, 10 of them to be exact, come back with a bad report. Let's go back a little bit to verse 17. Moses gave the men these instructions as he sent them out to explore the land. "Go north through the Negev into the hill country. See what the land is like and find out whether the people living there are strong or weak, few or many. See what kind of land they live in. Is it good or bad? Do their towns have walls or are they unprotected like open camps? Is the soil fertile or poor? Are there many trees? Do your best to bring back samples of the crops you see." Amen. Now, you know, Moses is a man of God, and I don't believe he wasn't sure if the promised land of God was going to be something good, because he's a man of God. He already knows. He knows God's promise, right? I think really he was testing these men's heart. Now, he sent 12 men. He sent a leader from each of the tribes. You know, he's trying to fill out all the different tribes. And amen, it was a test of their hearts. God does the same thing to us today. We see our pastors, we see our leaders, we see where we want to be, amen, where we're going in the future. We see the promised land, it's right there, amen. But then we start spending, you know, a little more time with our pastors, and especially in the home. I mean, we're doing ministry all the time, you know, it's just nonstop. And, you know, we start to see that this Christian walk, it's going to take a little sacrifice. It's not going to be easy, man. You're going to have to give up some things, amen. And after a while, we start wondering if, you know, next thing we come back with that same bad report, just like these 10 spies, amen. We say, "God, I'm not sure I'm called to ministry, amen. Yeah, I feel like God wants to use my life, but I don't trust that I'm prepared for my calling, amen." So how do we prove that we trust in God? By doing what he tells us to do. Amen. We take action. Amen, men of God. We take action when he tells us to. Let's look at verse 30. One more time. "But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. 'Let's go at once to take the land,' he said. 'We can certainly conquer it.'" You see, Caleb passed the test. He said, "My God promised me this land, and ain't no giants going to keep me from taking what the Lord gave me." Amen. He said, "Let's go at once. Take this land. We can certainly conquer it." He said, "Jump up. Let's take action. Let's go and take what is ours." But because the other spies came with a bad report, they were afraid. The other spies said, no, we can't do it. We're no match for the giants. We have seen, they say, we've seen God do some miracles in Egypt. He took us out of Egypt. He worked all those miracles, but we don't trust him that he can do this. And what happened to all of those spies? None of those doubters made it into the promised land. So I'm going to ask you men of God this evening, what thing that God asks us to do are we scared to take action in? What holds us back from trusting God to take us into the promised land? Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this word, God. Thank you for all that you're doing in our lives, God. Thank you for this fellowship, my God, with my brothers, these mighty men of valor, Lord. And I just give you all the honor, praise, and glory in the name of Jesus. Amen.
I've been chosen and asked to give an account of being called and chosen. And each and every one of us are called, but few are chosen. And the reason why few can be chosen is because you have to make the choice before you can be chosen. So God said in Matthew 22:14, it says, many are called and few are chosen. And we have to meet the answer the call in order to be chosen. So to go back to the spies, we know everybody knows Caleb and everybody knows Joshua. But I'm going to speak on this one guy from the tribe of Gad. Maybe you remember him. His name was Jeiel, son of Machir. He was from the Gad tribe. He was the last one chosen to go to the promised land. Out of that tribe, they went down the line pulling guys, leaders out of each tribe to go and spy the land. Okay? What I want to bring across is, to each and every one of us, we have to answer the call in order to be chosen. You don't get chosen until you answer the call. I've got a few verses here that I'd like to go over, but before I get started, I'd like to pray over these verses so we can all get a glimpse at it. We've read them before, but I want to reiterate them tonight. Heavenly Father, I go before you. I ask that you remove me and let your word reign supreme to every ear that's hearing what comes out of my mouth. Lord, we also pray for a double portion of wisdom and understanding, one to hold on with dear life, the other to give freely to anybody we come in contact with needing wisdom and understanding. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the honor, praise, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So in 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen generation, the Bible says, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellence of him who has called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. Man, when we hear that, we already know we're treasures out of darkness. You know, we know where we were and we know where God brought us from. So we've got to inspire each and every one of us that we come in contact with about these things. Otherwise, we're going to be riding solo. Let me give you an example. We were on Charleston and I was asked to step out and be a part of the ministry. And you know what we say? No, I'm all right. I'm all right. And then they said, no, you're not all right. They kept coming. They kept being persistent about you need to step up and answer the call. And from that point on, God attacked me in my heart saying, listen, you remember way back when you told me anything you want me to do, God, when you was facing all that time? You know, when the judge was finna hang you and you said, God, you got to do something. And I said, and what you going to do? And then I said, you know what we say in that time of need, right? Anything you want me to do, just don't send me to prison. I could have went to prison in South Carolina around people I know. I didn't come out to New Mexico to go to prison. And so ever since then, after he touched me and reminded me of what I said, I stepped up and answered the call, you know. And each and every one of us has to do the same thing. Another verse I'd like to share right quick is just as in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Just as he has chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him in love. Speaking of love, listen, and I go through this with my group on Thursdays, and we've got to walk in love. God is love. He's not an attribute, but he's looking for us to walk in love, you know. And the other thing about walking in love is you can't walk in love without forgiveness. You know what I mean? So we've got to be ready to forgive one another immediately following we know it's a problem. And so remembering that we got to walk in love, and that's where the blameless is going to come from in love, by forgiving each other. The next one I'd like to share with you is John 15:16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would be and bear fruit. You would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you asked of the Father in my name, he may give to you. So this is a word for us to make sure that if we are chosen, that we've got, if we choose to answer the call, that God is going to give us the many things that we need. And so I would like to close with this. Are you going to answer the call? We've got so many areas in this church that could be filled. We are the men that needs to fill them. We've got to fill them. Or do we want an over landslide of women doing manly things? You know what I mean? I mean, because the women stepping up. So now we need to step up ourselves. Okay? I'm going to let you soak on that for a minute. Because, you know, we need some ushers. I'm just saying. Because you want a woman to catch another woman? I ain't going to go there. All right. Heavenly Father, I'd like to thank you for your word, Lord. I hope and trust that you've made it possible for every ear to hear and every need to be fulfilled. Lord, we thank you in advance for everything you're doing here tonight and everything that you're going to do in the future, Lord. And we give you all the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
All right. Amen. You know, I'll just take it a little bit further than what Brother Gary was saying. Some of you need to come and see what goes down at Women's Discipleship. Okay. I even come to Women's Discipleship. And that's, I think our men can learn a lot from the women. It's Men's Discipleship, right? We need to know and grow tonight. Amen. Here, just as we start, we're going to get ready and get going. I want to thank God for my salvation, for our pastors, our ministers, our men's team, and Team Six for, you know, the opportunity and the privilege to have Men's Discipleship and to allow me to be able to be a part of it. You know, getting saved and giving my life to Jesus 27 years ago. I'm starting to lose count. What happens when you get old? But, you know, so many years ago, I just wanted to belong to something, wanted to be something, wanted to be a part of something. And you know what? God has allowed me that opportunity here. So I pray that he speaks to us tonight. With that said, you have your Bibles. I want us to look at Numbers chapter 14. Earlier we read Numbers chapter 13. John brought it out and told us how the spies came back and they gave the report and said, people look like giants and how impossible it is. Yes, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. Yes, there's, you know, grapes the size of our heads and all the great things. But they also said how bad it was and how impossible it was. And they tried to convince Moses that it wasn't a good idea because it was going to be too hard to accomplish the task. But I decided to go just a little bit further and look here in Numbers chapter 14, looking at verse 6 to begin. It says, Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephthah, who were among those that explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, the land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. And I'm going to pray. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. I pray that your word would penetrate our hearts tonight, my God. Well, that you would raise us up to be men of God, men of purpose, my God. Lord, and men, my God, that are chosen, men, my God, that are of action, my God, and men that are of a different spirit tonight. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we know the story. We know 12 went out and 10 came back with an impossible challenge. 10 came back and said, it can't be done. 10 came back and said, you know what, it's too hard. We shouldn't even try. But Joshua and Caleb, two of them, came back with a different story. They came back and they said, you know what? We can do it. It can happen. It is possible. God is with us. He has his hand upon us. It's everything that they said it was, and God can give it to us. See, Joshua and Caleb were men of a different spirit. When I think about men of different spirit, you know, I really do think of Joshua and Caleb. They went and saw the same land as everybody else. They saw the fields, the valleys, the rivers, the streams, the houses, the fruit. They saw everything that everybody else saw. But yet, they still saw something different. Three things that I think of when I think of men of different spirit, Joshua and Caleb, that when they went out, they saw different. First thing, they saw what everybody else saw, and everybody else was looking at how hard the task was going to be, how impossible it was, how many trials they're going through, how many problems they're having in their lives, how many bills they haven't paid, how much this, how much that. But Joshua and Caleb saw the potential that God had in that land. They saw what God was able to do with them. They knew that God had a calling on their life. They knew that if God be for me, who can be against me? See, they're also of a different spirit because they talk different. See, 10 came back and they talked and they said, it's too hard. And it's too difficult. And they're like giants and they're going to beat us. Everybody else was complaining about how difficult the task was going to be. But Joshua and Caleb were already rejoicing in the victory that God had brought. They weren't getting caught up in the talk and the gossip and he said this and he doesn't like me and none of the things that they heard from anybody else deterred them, but they heard God's voice. They heard God's vision. They knew God's purpose and what he had planned for their lives and what God had for that promised land. They heard something different. They heard God's whisper. You ever heard God's whisper? Ever hear that whisper of God that comes just like says that still small voice that gives us our purpose, that gives us hope, that gives us encouragement? See, that's why I believe Joshua and Caleb heard when they went to the land. They heard the whispering of God saying that this land is for you. These promises are for you. And I want to tell you, men of God, today we're going to be men of different spirits. We need to hear the promises of God for our lives. We need to hear the plan and purpose that God has for us. We need to hear what God is calling us to do on a Monday night while we're here at Men's Discipleship. And not just come because we have to. Not just come because they said, get in the van. Hello, men's home. But we need to hear the voice of God as He speaks to us on these Monday nights, as He speaks to us through our leaders, as He speaks to us through our pastor, if we're going to be men of different spirit. I also know that being men of different spirit meant that they thought differently. See, the other spies relied on their own capabilities and their own understanding and their own perception and their own perspective. But Joshua and Caleb knew whom they put their trust in. They knew who was capable of doing the incapable. They knew who was able to win the victory. We look for you look further in the Old Testament in 2 Chronicles. The people of Judah and Jerusalem are getting ready to fight again, and it says in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, it says, "Go out." Says, but you will not even need to fight. Take your positions and then stand and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you. People of Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid, be discouraged. Go out again tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. When David went out to go fight, he knew the battle was not his, but the battle was the Lord's. And if we're going to be men of different spirit, we're going to be men of purpose, men of God that are going to lead our homes, men of God that are going to lead our families, lead our church, then we need to be men that see differently. We need to be men that talk differently, but we also need to be men that think differently. We need to think not just on the earthly things, not on the things that trials and circumstances we might have in our life, the way the boss told you to get to work today, or fight that you had with your wife, or whatever it is that might be going on in our lives to try to pull us down. We need to not think about those things, but we need to know what God has called us to do. We need to know that God has put an anointing upon our lives. We need to know that God has a purpose, a plan, a destiny for us, but we need to be able to tap into Him to do it. And as I get ready here to start to bring it towards a close, I have five things that I see are men of different spirit have. First thing that men of a different spirit have is they have their leader's heart. They know their leader's heart. Do we know our leader's heart? Do we know our pastor's heart? See, Joshua and Caleb were connected to Moses and they knew the vision. They knew that we're going to go to the promised land. They knew that God had given them the promise, and God had given them this land to possess. They knew what the mission was, and they were down for it. They were sold out for it. Well, men, are we men that know our leaders' hearts? Are we men that are connected with our pastor? Are we men that, you know, when pastor says it's time for Run for Hope and we need to all be on board, are we saying, oh, I don't want to do Run for Hope? That's a women's thing. Oh, it's quiet. Are we men that get on board, though? Are we men that know our leaders and know our leaders' hearts? Men of a different spirit, the second thing I put is that they know God's calling for their life. They don't just aimlessly wander around and, you know, come to church and sit and, you know, but they know that God has a calling for them. They know that God has a purpose for their life. Maybe it's not to be a preacher. Maybe it's not to be on the worship team. Maybe it's to be an usher. Maybe it's to lead a life group. Maybe it's to work in the parking lot. Maybe it's to do something else, but men of a different spirit know that God has called them. They know that God has given them a purpose for their life. I stand before you, since 1991, God saving my life, and I knew when God saved me that He had a purpose for me. He had a plan for me. He had something for my life that I couldn't do without Him. And I decided as a young man at 16 years old to say, you know what, God, you have something for me. You got a calling for my life. You want to use me and you want to do things, whatever it is, my God. Whatever it is, if I'm vacuuming the church, if I'm whatever it is that I'm doing, if I'm setting up in the park before rallies and staying late after everybody leaves, whatever it is that you call me to do, I want to do it because I know you've touched my life. The third thing that men of a different spirit do is they don't get involved in things of the world. They don't get caught up in the riffraff, in gossip, in lying, in sin, in messing around, in complacency. They don't get caught up in that. Bible tells us in the New Testament, I think it's in Philippians, I don't get involved in civilian affairs because we are part of the army. We're in the Lord's army and we can't involve ourselves in the things that everybody else is getting caught up in. Oh, we had a difference with this brother because he took my parking spot. We can't get involved in that. We can't get caught up in those things. God has given us a mission and souls are dying. People need saving. People need to know about the goodness and grace of God. Just as He's given it to us, we need to share it with others. But sometimes we get too caught up in, well, they didn't say hello to me today. I tell you, if I was like that, I wouldn't have made it this far. I wouldn't have made it this long. If I wanted to act like that, and just because somebody didn't say hi, just because somebody didn't look at me, just because I maybe got my feelings hurt, if I wanted to live like that and do that, I wouldn't have made it this far. But I thank God that I committed myself and said, I'm not going to get involved in those things. God has set me apart for something else. He has set me apart for something different, and that's what I want for my life. Men of God, we want to be of a different spirit. Men of a different spirit also are obedient to His word and to His voice. Again, they know the calling on their lives, but when God speaks, they know it. They hear it. They follow it. And lastly, men of a different spirit are faithful unto the end. They're unwavering. They're men that are not going to be here just for a year to complete the home. Not just for two or three years while it's convenient for them. I mean, look around. I'm sure all of us can think of at least two or three men that aren't here tonight. And why aren't they here? Because it wasn't convenient for them. But men of God, men of purpose, men of a different spirit are going to be faithful and committed until the end. Convenient or not, they're going to be loyal to God and to their church and to their pastors. They're going to be committed. They're going to be in it for the long haul. They're going to be men that you don't have to wonder, are they going to show up? Are they going to be here? Well, that's what I want to be. I want to be that man that I know could be counted on. I don't want to let God down. Forget about anybody else. I don't want to let God down. God has given me a calling. God has given me a responsibility for my life. I don't want to let Him down. I want to be a man that has a different spirit. I want to be a man that is faithful to God and His word. I want to be a man that can be a leader for his family. Man, you know, we don't have to slow down or stop, you know, just because our occupation gets odd, our kids get crazy, our wife gets weird, our money gets funny. We don't have to slow down or quit because of any of that. But tonight, I believe our challenge is that we commit ourselves, we commit our lives to God once and for all. We tell Him, I want to be a man of action. I want to be a man that's chosen. And I want to be a man that has a different spirit. I mean, let's all stand this evening.